Hare Krishna. So thank you so much, everyone, for coming this morning. I don't know how it is for you, but for me at the moment, it feels like it's a perpetual festival at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Every day is a festival. Something amazing is happening. It's very, very wonderful. It feels like the spiritual world is manifesting more and more by Srila Prabhupada's grace and beautiful glance of Shri Radha Gokulananda. So this week we are getting ready for another festival. As you know, Janmashtami is coming, so the topic that they have set for the series of classes is how Krishna reciprocates with his devotees. This is a very fascinating subject. It's a subject which causes extreme wonder. It's a subject which can cause extreme frustration. It's a subject that can build your faith like anything. And it's a subject, Krishna's reciprocation, that sometimes breaks your faith. But Krishna's reciprocation, how do we understand that? Well, let me begin by asking all of you, have you felt Krishna's reciprocation? Yes. If you were to describe Krishna's reciprocation in one word, what word would it be? Unexpected.
Hope.
Causeless. Didn't do anything to deserve it. Needed. Yeah. It's needed. For sure, we need Krishna's reciprocation. Yes. Now? Love. Mercy.
Unconditional.
Clarity. Okay, so. Pardon me?
The best.
That's two words, but because it's a good answer, we'll let you off. Yes, Karuna. So Krishna's mercy can, reciprocation comes in many, many ways. And well, yes, this is the teaching of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, that Krishna is alive, Krishna is attentive, Krishna is affectionate, and most excitingly, Krishna is active in your life. Just think about that for a second. Krishna is active in your life. He's watching, he's waiting, and he's planning and he's plotting to bring you back to him. It's actually amazing to think that. So yes, this is what makes Krishna consciousness so beautiful, that Krishna is not just a concept. Krishna is not just a distant God, but Krishna is very, very close and Krishna is involved. I remember coming to the temple when I was starting my journey, and I said to a devotee, I don't know if Krishna exists. I don't know if I believe in Krishna. And he looked at me and he said, we're not trying to make you believe in Krishna. He said, we are giving you the tools, practices, and processes by which you can perceive the existence of Krishna at every moment in your life. I thought, that's amazing. He said, that's the difference between religion and spirituality. If you want to know the difference, is basically two things. Transformation and experience. If you're not changing, then it means you're more religious than spiritual. And if it means you're not experiencing the presence, the touch of God in your life, then it means you're probably more religious than spiritual. And so we are meant for this, to experience Krishna in our life. And however, Krishna's reciprocation, you have to understand how it works. We have to all understand how it works. And that's why the Shastra is there. Because, Krishna is a character, for sure. And sometimes Krishna, the trajectory of Krishna's reciprocation is that he appears, and then he disappears, and then he reappears. And you know the amazing thing is? He does it all over again. Sometimes Krishna is available, and then sometimes it feels like Krishna is withdrawn. And then sometimes Krishna just comes close, right there again. Sometimes it seems we're right in proximity, touching distance from Krishna. And then sometimes we feel as though he's run very, very far away. So we have to understand this trajectory is there. And as we're navigating the journey of our spiritual life, we have to be very aware of this. Krishna appears, he disappears, and then he reappears, and he keeps doing this. And this happens in the life of all the great devotees in the Bhagavatam. Parikshit. How does he get his name? Aksha means to see. Parikshit means one who's looking around, examining, investigating, searching, seeking. Seeking what? Because Krishna appeared to him. Krishna appeared to him in the womb of Uttara. And there Krishna protected him. And as soon as Parikshit was born, he was looking around. Where is that Krishna? He came in the womb, but now I can't see him. Where is he? And it said that in this way, Parikshit was always looking for Krishna. Same thing with Narad Muni. Narad Muni served the Bhaktivedantas. But then what happened is his mother passed away. And when his mother passed away, he just left home and became a traveling mendicant. And as he became a traveling mendicant, one day he was just sat in meditation, focusing on Krishna. And boom, Krishna appeared in his vision. And there in his mind's eye, he was drinking the beauty of Krishna. And then, boom, Krishna just disappeared. And then he understood, Krishna told him, I have disappeared, I'm going to increase your longing for me. And in that way, he was not able to see Krishna again immediately. And perhaps the most heart-wrenching story of Krishna appearing and disappearing and then reappearing is Krishna's reciprocation with the gopis of Vrindavan. And therefore, if we want to understand the heart of Krishna's reciprocation, then we go to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, because that's the heart of the book. And if we want to understand the heart of Krishna's reciprocation in Vrindavan, then we go to the Rasa Panchadhyaya, because that's the five chapters where Krishna is revealing the most confidential dimensions of his reciprocation. And so, of course, someone may say, what is our qualification to read Rasa Panchadhyaya? But it's explained by the acharyas. Just as rain falls in different places, it could fall on an elephant, it could fall on an oyster, it could fall on a bamboo, it could fall on a cobra. And it's described that when rain falls on all these different entities, they all produce pearls. But the pearls are of different sizes, different colors. But the rain produces pearls. So the acharyas say the rain of prema lila, rasa lila. Someone may say, but I'm not qualified. Yes, we're not qualified. But it's explained that even hearing such pastimes, the beginner gains a fascination. What is this prema lila? What are these pastimes of love? Maybe I should explore. It said, for the sadhaka, one who's serious, hearing prema lila nourishes their bhakti and orientates them to understand what the real essence of bhakti is about. It's not about power, it's not about position, it's not about prestige, it's not about popularity, but it's about the purity of my heart that will bring Krishna very much present before me. And it said that the reign of prema lila for a siddha simply encages them in ecstasy. And therefore the acharyas say, whether you're a beginner, whether you're a sadhaka, whether you're a siddha, hearing prema lila from the right source in the right mood can nourish everyone's bhakti. And therefore Srila Prabhupada gave us this even to newcomers. But it must be approached with the proper attitude. So we are reading from the Rasa Panchadhyaya. We're reading from chapter number 32. So the five chapters go from 29 to 33. And it's explained that The sequence of Rasa Leela is very, very beautiful. It begins with a call. Krishna calls the gopis. Shriman Rasa Rasaram Bhivam Shiva Tatatastita Karshan Venu Svanir Gopi Gopinathai Shriyestunaha. Krishna is standing under the Vamshivat tree, Karshan, and he's attracting Venu with his flute, gopis, all the gopis. And this flute sound is the Rasa Rambhi. Rasa Rambhi means the beginning sound, that this is the beginning now of the pastime of Rasa Leela. So Krishna calls the gopis. As we know, the gopis leave everything. They just run. No hesitation. Ma Sucha. Don't hesitate. Don't fear. Just surrender. Just go. And that's what the gopis do. They're living it. And then they arrive. And when they arrive, what does Krishna say to them? Shravana darshana dhyanan mai bhavonu kirtanat. What is the next line? Sanikarshan. Na tata sanikarshena pratiyeta tato grihan. Tato grihan, go back. Go back to your homes. Why have you left everything? Are you mad? You're crazy. You're out of your mind. You lost all your intelligence. How could you come here? You made a big mistake. Go back. Just be calm. Shravanat, be at home. Listen about me. Hear my narrations. Hear Bhagavatam. Darshanat, meditate on my form. Dhyanan, like this. Always worship me in your mind. But the gopis say, no. No, Krishna, we won't go. And then Krishna begins playing with them. And then the next thing that Krishna does is, boom, he disappears. And therefore the second stage in development towards the rasa dance is, first there's the call, and then there's the search. Because Krishna disappears, and then the gopis are searching everywhere. They're asking the trees, the bushes, the animals. They're asking Mother Bhumi herself, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And like this, they are searching madly. But all of their searches don't bring any fruit. They don't find Krishna. And therefore, when all else fails, when all your endeavors fail, then there's only one thing you can do. Cry. And therefore, you even see this in an argument between a husband and a wife. There can be so many arguments, but the moment the woman begins crying, that's it, finished. End of argument. Therefore, the third stage is the song, the Gopi Geet. Tavakathamritam tapta jivanam kaviviriditam kalmashapaham Shravana Mangalam Srimadatatam Bhuvigranantiye Bhuridajana. So they sing, they cry in front of the Yamuna for Krishna. And then the reunion. Krishna reappears, he comes, Krishna is there again. And after the reunion is the dance. So this is what Rasa Panchadhyaya is explaining. The call, the search, the song, then the reunion, and finally the dance. But before the dance takes place, in the reunion, there is a conversation between the gopis and Krishna. And the gopis look at Krishna and they say, we came, you were here, we were here. Everything had appeared, beautiful, and then you disappeared. And now you reappear again, and they question Krishna's reciprocation. They say, Krishna, what kind of person are you? Option one, are you the kind of person who reciprocates only when others reciprocate with you? Option number two, Krishna, are you the person who reciprocates regardless of how people reciprocate with you? Or Krishna, option number three, are you the person who doesn't reciprocate no matter what because you're self-satisfied and you've fulfilled all your desires anyway and you don't really care about anything else? Which one are you, Krishna? So it's interesting. Basically, the gopis want Krishna to admit his ingratitude. But rather than telling him, Krishna, you're ungrateful, rather than telling him that, they basically ask him a question whereby he has to ultimately say, I'm ungrateful, I don't reciprocate. So very expert. But Krishna is more expert. So after the gopis ask this, which one of these three are you? You say you reciprocate, but we don't experience the reciprocation. You just disappeared, you just left. Isn't it? Sometimes you feel like you gave up everything for Krishna and then Krishna just left you hanging. Like, where are you, Krishna? You feel some frustration. So Krishna, in his expert response, basically doesn't respond at all. Are you one, two, or three? Krishna's like, these are good categories. Like, yeah, I'm a bit of both. I'm a bit of all of them, and a bit I'm none of them either. And Krishna, he just doesn't answer. He doesn't even say, like, directly. And then this is actually Krishna's answer. So when the gopis ask Krishna, do you reciprocate or not? What kind of person are you? We need to know, we're giving our heart, our mind, we're giving our lives to you. We need to know what kind of person you are. This is Krishna's response. This is how Krishna lovingly reciprocates with his devotees. So if you can repeat after me. Naham tu sakyo bhajato pi jantum. Bhajam yami sam manuvritti vrittaye. Yatha dano labdha dhane vaniste. Tachintayanyan nibhrito na veda. Naham tu sakyo bhajato pi jantum. Bhajam yamisha manuvritti vrittaye. Yatha dano labdha dhane vinaste. Tachintayanyan nabhrito na veda. Naham tu sakyo bhajato pi jantum. Bhajam yamisha manuvritti vrittaye. Yatha dano labdha dhane vinaste. Tachintayanyan nibhrito na veda. Sakyo bhajato pi jantun. Bhajami nisa manivriti vrittaye. Namaste. Ladies. Bhavatu Sakyo Bhajato Abhijantun Mani Misha Manuvriti Vrittaye Yatha Dhano Labdha Dhane Vinaste Dayanyan Nibrito Naveda Na. Do not. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki. Aham. I. Do. On the other hand. Sakya. O friends. Bhajata. Worshipping. Api. Even. Jantun. With living beings. Bhajami. Reciprocate. Amisham. There. Anuvritti, propensity for pure love. Vrittaye, in order to impel. Yatha, just as. Adhana, a poor man. Labdha, having obtained. Dhane, wealth. Vinaste, and it being lost. Dat, of that. Chintaya, with anxious thought. Anyat, anything else. Nibrita, filled. Naveda, does not know. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. So yes, the gopis are wanting to know why Krishna disappeared. Nowadays in the world, they have the concept of ghosting, isn't it? Krishna is the original transcendental ghosta, Ghosta Nandi. So they want to know, why did Krishna disappear? How could you do that? We just left everything. How could you just do that? How could you reciprocate with us like that? This is Krishna's answer. But the reason I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings, even when they worship me, O gopis, is that I want to intensify their loving devotion. They then become like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it, and who thus becomes so anxious about it that he can think of nothing else. Shri Krishna Ki Jai. So the point here is that don't be surprised if sometimes you feel like Krishna is a little bit distant from your life. Don't be surprised sometimes if you feel Krishna is not responsive. Don't be surprised if sometimes you look at Krishna and think, it's all right for you, you're smiling there, but what about my life? Where are you? This is Krishna. He comes, he goes, he appears, he disappears, but he'll always reappear. Purport. Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, Ye yatha mam prapadyante tamstateva bhajami aham. As people approach me, I reciprocate with them accordingly. Yet even if the Lord is approached by someone with devotion, to intensify the devotee's love, the Lord may not immediately reciprocate fully. In fact, the Lord is truly reciprocating. After all, a sincere devotee always prays to the Lord, please help me to love you purely. Therefore, the Lord's so-called neglect is actually the fulfillment of the devotee's prayer. Lord Krishna intensifies our love for Him by apparently separating Himself from us. And the result is that we achieve what we really wanted and prayed for. Intense love for the Absolute Truth, Krishna. Thus, Lord Krishna's apparent negligence is actually His thoughtful reciprocation and the fulfillment of our deepest and purest desire. According to the Acharyas, as Lord Krishna began to speak this verse, the gopis looked at one another with squinting eyes, trying to hide the smiles breaking out on their faces. Even as Lord Krishna was speaking, the gopis had begun to realize that he was bringing them to the highest perfection of loving service. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. It is a very profound verse. Actually, in this verse and the two verses which follow, four secrets are given about Krishna's reciprocation. And if a devotee understands these four secrets of reciprocation, they'll never be bewildered, and they'll always have that hope, that positivity, and that incredible energy and enthusiasm and hunger to wake up every single day and give their heart to Krishna. The first secret to realize is that Krishna's reciprocation is unfailing. But you also have to understand that Krishna's reciprocation is also unpredictable. But you also have to understand that Krishna's reciprocation is unchanging. And finally, Krishna himself admits that his reciprocation is actually unequal. So these are the four secrets of reciprocation which this verse reveals to us, and this passage, very emotionally charged passage of the Bhagavatam, reveals to us. The first thing, and the most important thing, and the most pacifying thing, is that a devotee should realize that Krishna, his reciprocation is unfailing. One of Krishna's names is Achyuta. Achyuta means one who never fails to reciprocate with his devotee. And therefore the devotee, someone mentioned hope. The devotee always has the unbreakable hope. Krishna will come. Krishna has to come. Krishna at one point will definitely show up. And therefore, I just need to keep going, because Krishna can never fail in his reciprocation. If I take a risk for Krishna, then Krishna will always back me up. Shyamasundara Prabhu tells this story that they were in Haight-Ashbury, and they didn't know week to week how they would pay the rent. And at one point it came to the situation where they just didn't have any money and they had no income source whatsoever. Everyone was a hippie. Nobody was earning money. And he said, one day we just walked down the stairs. We walked into the street in Haight-Ashbury, and out of nowhere, there were just dollar bills flying in the air. He said, we looked around in both directions. There was not one person in sight. And all this money was just flying. He said, we grabbed as much as we could, came back to the temple, and it was enough for the rent. And he said, Prabhupada told us that if you take a risk for Krishna, Krishna has to come. Krishna has to reciprocate. Krishna has to respond. And he said, we tested it to the max. But a devotee has that surety that Krishna will definitely come. Krishna will definitely reciprocate. When that basic understanding that Krishna's reciprocation is unfailing, when that basic understanding is there, you see a devotee can do outrageous things, because they know Krishna is going to back me up. And yatra yogeshvara krishno, wherever there is Krishna, there'll always be victory. And therefore, a devotee, he just knows, Krishna will come. Brahmananda Prabhu tells the story. They were racking their brains how to get Prabhupada's Gita published. So one day out of the blue, they were struggling and struggling. He got a message from Macmillan that, come in, show us your record. And Macmillan also published books. So he told Prabhupada, I'm going to get an appointment with Macmillan. Maybe they can publish the book. But how will I explain to them? Prabhupada looked at him and said, when you meet the person, just tell him, we have a Gita to publish, do you want to publish it? He said, no, no, Prabhupada, there has to be a pitch. There has to be, you know, we have to build it up. Prabhupada said, just ask him. So he went to the office the next day. He went, the senior editor turned up. And without even saying hello to the senior editor, he just looked at him. He said, we have a Gita to publish. Do you want it? He said, you got a Gita to publish? I've been looking for a Gita. Brahmananda was flabbergasted. He came back so excited. He said, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I told him. And you know what? He took it. They're going to publish the Gita. Prabhupada looked at him and said, that's all right. he said, Prabhupada wasn't impressed at all. Not that he wasn't impressed, but Prabhupada wasn't amazed. He knew. The devotee knows Krishna has to come because Krishna is a chuta. So Krishna is unfailing in his reciprocation. Krishna wants to be a part of our lives. He wants to play. It's like kids, they never want to be alone, isn't it? It's like kids always want to, when we're older, we get a bit miserable and then we want to like lock ourselves away and like, I don't want to see anyone. And Krishna is a kid, Braj is a playground, and Krishna wants to reciprocate. Krishna wants to be with his devotees. And so the very first understanding of reciprocation that we must deeply have faith in is that Krishna's reciprocation is unfailing. However, if you don't understand the second truth, then you can get bewildered. Therefore, Krishna says, sometimes, however, I don't immediately reciprocate. In other words, the second truth of reciprocation is that Krishna's reciprocation is unpredictable. When Krishna will reciprocate, how Krishna will reciprocate, through what means and through what individuals and through what arrangements Krishna will reciprocate, that we have no idea. Prabhupada knew Krishna would reciprocate, but he had no idea. Even Prabhupada later on, he said, I was born in one family, my Guru Maharaj was born in another family. Who knew that I would come to his shelter? Who knew that I would come to America? Who knew that all of you would come and take shelter of me? Who knew that in this way the Krishna consciousness movement would spread all over the world? He said, these are all Krishna's arrangements. Nobody can understand how it's all going on. So Krishna and how he arranges things and reciprocates is completely unpredictable. At the end of the Kurukshetra war, the Pandavas came to Bhishma Dev, and Bhishma Dev looked at the Pandavas and he said, Krishna is inconceivable. Krishna is just, you can't figure him out at all. He looked at the Pandavas, he said, you had Shastra, you had knowledge, you had Dharma, you had piety, you had Bala, you had strength, you had Punya, you had piety, you had Naipunya, you had intelligence, and most importantly, Surit, you had Krishna as your best friend. And despite all of these things, you had to suffer. Na hyasya kar hichit papan puman veda vidit sitam yad vijigya saya mukta muyanti kavayopihi. Don't try to figure out Krishna, muyanti, you will become completely bewildered. Therefore, Krishna's reciprocation is very, very unpredictable. How he does it, in what way he does it. We have to understand that Krishna is a God who breaks all the stereotypes. He breaks all the stereotypes. So Krishna, sometimes it feels as though he wants to do things in an extraordinary way that no one would ever figure out. Krishna's plans are so colorful. And therefore the devotees, they're always patiently waiting, because in all the confusion, sometimes the devotee knows it's okay, Krishna is unpredictable, but something's round the corner, definitely. So here Krishna is telling the gopis, I don't immediately reciprocate because I'm trying to bring you closer to me. And this leads us to the third secret of reciprocation, that actually Krishna's reciprocation is unchanging. What do I mean by that? In every situation, in whatever way Krishna responds to us, he only has one objective and one objective only in mind. And what is that? He wants to increase the desperation within the heart of the devotee. That's it. The result of bhakti is the hunger for bhakti. That's basically Krishna consciousness. The result of bhakti is that your hunger for bhakti is inflamed, is incited. And that's basically what Krishna is doing. So whenever Krishna reciprocates with his devotees, whether he does it in this way or that way, whether he seems to be present or not present, we should understand his reciprocation is unchanging, because whatever he's doing only because he says to the gopis, I want to intensify your loving devotion. And therefore, when commenting on this section, Kavi Karnapur in Ananda Vrindavan Champu is explaining that Krishna says that sometimes I don't appear in front of my devotees to reciprocate with them. And Krishna says, according to the devotee, I do it for different reasons. He says, for one who has not attained prema, I don't immediately reciprocate with them. Why? Because then what will happen is they'll develop a desperation, they'll develop a humility, they'll look at themselves and think, I have not been successful in my spiritual life, and that will fuel their desire to perform Navaveda Bhakti with greater purity, intensity and sincerity. So Krishna, he says, sometimes I don't reciprocate with those who have not attained prema in order to help them perfect their bhakti. He says, but sometimes I also do not appear before those who have attained prema bhakti, who have attained prema. And the reason why I don't appear before them to reciprocate immediately is because prema has different stages. And therefore, there's higher and higher, more superlative experiences of prema. And therefore, even for one who has attained prema, sometimes I withhold my reciprocation in order to inflame their bhakti even more. But then the question is, why did Krishna not appear before the gopis? The gopis are not in the category of those who have not attained prema. The gopis are in the category of those who have attained prema, but they are on the highest level of prema. So you can't increase or decrease the love of the gopis. So the question remains, why did Krishna then not appear before the gopis? And the acharyas say the reason is because Krishna wanted to reveal to the world how amazing their love is. Krishna wanted to reveal to the world what the gold standard of prema bhakti is. And therefore, through the gopis and their example and his seeming lack of reciprocation with them, he actually displayed to the world how glorious they are. So the third truth of reciprocation is that reciprocation is unchanging. Is Krishna, whatever he does, this way or that way, now or later, is always only for one purpose, to inflame our bhakti. And the final, very confidential secret of reciprocation is that actually Krishna's reciprocation is unequal. Actually, it's not just that Krishna may sometimes seemingly not reciprocate with the devotees, but the truth is that Krishna looks at the gopis and he says, I can't reciprocate with you. You've defeated me. This is actually mind-blowing, because in most conceptions of theology, the God always does way more than the devotee. So the devotee does something, and the God's glory is that he gives so much, which is so much more than what the devotee gave. But in Braj, the tables are turned. Because Krishna looks at the gopis and he says, Napadayeham niravadyasam yujam svasadu krityam vibudayushapiva yama bhajandur jadageha shrinkhala samrishchatadva pratiyatu saduna. He says, Napadayeham, I can't repay you. I can't repay you even within a lifetime of Brahma. Therefore, I've become bankrupt. Therefore, let your own deeds, let your own love, let your own prema, let your own emotions of intensity be your reward, because I am unable to reciprocate with you. You have defeated me. Therefore, the devotee who comes to Krishna with no desire, with no agenda, with no expectation, with no demand, that devotee actually renders Krishna unable to reciprocate. And so the deeper secret of this is that Krishna says, I can't reciprocate with the gopis, even if I wanted to, because what they've done, the sacrifice they've made, is unparalleled. Krishna looks at the gopis and he says, you see, you've given up everything. You've turned away from every other consideration in the world, and you're laser focused simply on me. Krishna looks at the gopis and says, how can I reciprocate with this? Because I can't recreate that. I have to give love to the cows. I have to give love to the gopas. I have to give love to all the living entities, even the ones that turn away from me. And I give my love to you. But I can't repay you, because I can't give that kind of one focused, laser pointed affection simply to you that you've given to me. And therefore the acharyas say, Krishna has to figure out some way to repay the gopis. So the only way he can do it is he comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Yes, he's Krishna Swarupam. He's Krishna himself, but he comes in Radha Bhav. And when he comes in Radha Bhav, then eventually, at one point in his life, he gives up everything. And he says, now I'm only running to Krishna. And in that way, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna begins to understand what kind of force of intense devotion was aimed at him towards from the gopis. He experiences that for himself. And this is his reciprocation. So this is a very, very mystical topic, very magical topic, and a topic which you will be hearing about more and more in the coming days. But on those days when you feel like Krishna is not present, then always remember, Krishna's reciprocation is unfailing. He has to show up. But Krishna's reciprocation is unpredictable. How, when, and in what way he does it, you can't figure it out. But remember, Krishna's reciprocation is unchanging. Whatever he does, it's only if we are able to meditate that now, how does Krishna want me to intensify my devotion? And when we do that, and we give our lives and hearts to Krishna, then eventually you'll conquer Krishna. And Krishna will say, my reciprocation is unequal, because you've given me way more than I can give back to you. You've confused me. Because you came to me and you said you didn't want anything. You came to me and you didn't expect anything. And that kind of devotion is very, very rare in this world. And so in this way, this passage of Bhagavatam is revealing all these incredible truths about reciprocation. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya. Normally we stop at 8:30. Do we carry on or how do we? 8:30, yeah. If anyone needs to leave, please don't feel... Sometimes you have to disappear. So no problem, if you have to disappear, we won't feel as though you're not reciprocating with us. But if anyone has any question, then sure. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Maharaj. So sometimes what happens, a person comes to Krishna consciousness, he starts chanting Hare Krishna, feels Krishna reciprocation, and eventually ends up picking up devotional service very wonderfully. But on other occasions, what we see sometimes, this also happens, that person comes, he doesn't feel anything, he doesn't feel that reciprocation, and he gives up the process and goes away. So in such a case, the preacher becomes frustrated. Oh Krishna, I prepared an environment for him. He came, he started the process, but because of no magic, he left. So how should the preacher see this? Or why does this happen?
Yeah, a preacher is disappointed because a preacher is paradukaduki. He wants to see that everyone is becoming connected with Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I wish that every selfless, tender-hearted member of the Gaudiya Math be willing to shed 200 gallons of blood to uplift the spiritual corpus of the entire humanity. So that's what a devotee works for. He's a welfare worker. Ajata Shatru, nobody is his enemy, a well-wisher to everyone. So yes, naturally, when someone doesn't take to Krishna consciousness, we are disappointed. But oftentimes the preacher is disappointed, not so much because the other person didn't come to Krishna consciousness, but because they weren't successful. It's more about their ego. It's more about their own investment of time, feeling, I gave so much time and then that person didn't. So then we are preaching, but we love to preach, but we don't love the people that we preach to. So yes, we must love the people we preach to. We must feel the pain. They must have this. But at the same time, we have to realize, I'm limited. And whatever I can do, at the end of the day, if I go to bed at night, at least I should be able to say I did everything. Prabhupada said, if every devotee could become a little bit more committed to giving the mercy, then so many people could be saved from so much suffering. So the devotee has to work hard. The devotee has to realize, I have something which can save people from suffering. We kind of take it lightly. Once I was on Sankirtan, anyway, it was a tough day. It happens. I came back to the car. At that time we had a nice estate, a Ford Mondeo estate. So I turned the engine on. It was a really good car because even when it was freezing outside, as soon as you turn on the engine, you'd get warm, like warm air. That was the best thing about the car. So I turned the engine on, I put this warm air, I was like, I need a break, you know. And anyway, I reclined the seat. Anyway, you know what happened next. Went fast asleep. It was one of those sleeps where, you know, like you're sleeping for 3 minutes, it feels like three yugas, you know. So I was deep in the sleep, and then, boom, there was like a knock on the window. I was like, who is this? It's Sankirtan leader, probably, you know. And it wasn't. It was just some person. So he was knocking on the window. So I turned the window down, and he looked at me. No hello, nothing. He looked at me, and he goes, what are you doing here? Get out there. You got important work to do. I was like, why don't you join me? And he had seen the devotees on the street, and he had seen us, and he was saying, you have important work, you have to be out there. So we take it lightly, but a preacher is... can't handle to see people suffering. It's painful when someone doesn't come to Krishna. It's painful when someone leaves Krishna consciousness. How painful is that? But it's because we actually care about the person, not because we care about our own profile. Is that okay? All right. Yes. Yeah.
August the 14th is coming up, and that's Mother Kalinga's disappearance day. And I recommend anybody to hear her interview with Bhagadatta, because what reminded me of that, when you said all these things are Krishna's arrangement, and she continually, because of the life she had, Stalin, Hitler, and all these things, but... she kept saying, all these things are Krishna's arrangement. So if you want to watch the interview on August the 14th, you'll see an incredible person talking about their lives in this interview. So,
thank you.
Okay.
Mala Kalangana ki.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for this amazing class. I was wondering, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to experience the love of Srimati Radharani. So I was wondering, how is this a reciprocation to gopis?
See, the gopis were criticizing Krishna, that you have no idea how we feel. When Krishna left Vrindavan, Uddhav came back. And when Uddhav came to that place, Uddhav Kyari, then Srimati Radharani went into an ecstasy. And she started speaking to a bumblebee. And she was chastising Krishna. You're just like a bumblebee. You just come to a flower, you take the nectar, and then you go to another flower. And like that, you came to Braj, you pillaged us of our hearts, and then you just left. And so the gopis were criticizing Krishna. And so one way in which you can reciprocate with someone is you can say, now I understand what you feel. Now I understand what you went through. Now I understand the anguish, the transcendental separation. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt that. He felt that in the Gambhira. And therefore, he still couldn't repay the gopis, but at least he could understand what they went through. And so this is one way. Is that okay? Actually, different commentaries are given on this verse. If you go to that verse, I don't know if someone can go to it, it's the next two verses down from this. And Krishna says, there are different interpretations. So Krishna says, I can't repay you, let your own glorious deeds be the repayment. And so one commentary on this is that when the gopis are criticizing Krishna, berating him, telling him, like, what kind of person are you? And literally swearing at him, transcendental. Krishna says, these are actually glorious deeds when you're criticizing me. Because by criticizing me, you're actually absolving me of my debt. Because it's one way in which you're getting your back on me. And therefore, Krishna says, this is one interpretation of let your own deeds be your repayment. So Krishna says, so the acharyas say, even when they're berating Krishna, criticizing him, those are glorious, because Krishna is thinking, at least now they're getting something back. So like this, there are different interpretations. In that verse, it's also said, if you go to the Sanskrit, this word sadhuna. Krishna says, another interpretation that's given is Krishna looks at the gopis and he says, I can't repay you, but sadhuna, in the future, some devotee of mine will come, some sadhu will come, and that sadhu will become so devoted to the gopis, he will become so captured by your devotion that that sadhu will become an exclusive follower of all of you. And those sadhus, they'll become exclusive followers of you. And I won't be able to repay you, but maybe my followers who recognize your incredible devotion, they will repay you. They will serve you. And they will do anything for you. So like this, Krishna is trying to get out of it. He's trying to say, no, I can't. But so like this. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you.
All right.
Hi Krishna, thank you so much, Maharaj. I was thinking, like, Krishna's love seems so far away, but gurus are worshipable like the Lord. So could you kindly share some of the elements in respect to the guru-disciple relationship?
Yes, Krishna is sometimes feels very distant to us. Therefore it's mentioned, Shiksha Guru Keta Jani Krishna Rasvarup Antaryami Bhakta Shrestha Eiduirup. Eiduirup, Krishna takes two forms while the devotee is in the conditioned state and appears to the devotee in this world in two forms. Antaryami, Krishna appears in the heart to guide the devotee. And Bhakta Shrestha, Krishna appears as the best of devotees in order to guide the living entity back home, back to Godhead. So we can't cry for Krishna. We don't have that kind of affection for Krishna. Therefore, we have to cry for the Vaishnavas, we have to become touched by the Vaishnavas, we have to allow our hearts to be conquered by the Vaishnavas. His Holiness Gaura Govinda Maharaj once said, you have to cry for Krishna. But he said, many of you will not be able to cry for Krishna. Therefore, one day the Guru will leave, and then you will have to cry for the Guru. And by crying for the Guru, you will also learn how to cry for Krishna. So we have to allow our hearts to become touched. Tadasma saram ridayam bateidam. The basic problem is our heart is too hard. It's steel framed. It's not responsive to spiritual stimuli because it's become too hard-hearted. Therefore, we have to allow ourselves to be conquered by the Vaishnavas. And that's basically what is happening in the Krishna consciousness movement. Srila Prabhupada came and he touched the devotees, he conquered them by his sacrifice, by his selflessness. And those devotees became so touched by Srila Prabhupada that they decided to give their life in service without any consideration of their own comfort. And because they made the sacrifice, their followers saw that sacrifice in them and they became touched. Just look at how much they're giving, how much they became touched, and therefore they now then live their life like that. And in this way, one devotee is touching another devotee, and that devotee is being touched by another devotee. And when you take it all back, it's because someone was touched by Krishna. So this is how it all goes on. Therefore I say the biggest influencer is the one who touches hearts. Because influence doesn't mean scale, influence means depth. Influence means virality. And there's nothing more viral than if you touch someone's heart, because they have to then do something with that. So, yes, we must become attached to the saintly persons. Prashangam ajaram pasham atmana kavayovidu Saeva sadhushu krito mokshadvaram apavritam. Once the Swaminarayan sadhus came here, so I asked them, for you, what is the most important verse from Bhagavatam? They quoted this verse. Third canto, Kapila Muni, speaking to Devahuti. What does this verse say? Attachment to material things is the greatest source of bondage. But that same attachment, saeva sadhu shukrito, if you become attached to a sadhu because of their spiritual substance, following their spiritual mood, moksha dwaram, then the doors to liberation are opened. So, yes, we feel the reciprocation of Krishna in a more real way sometimes through our reciprocation with the Vaishnavas and through our reciprocation with the Guru. So, yes, this is a very beautiful point. Thank you. Sometimes the Guru may also seem not to reciprocate. You never answered my emails. Sometimes it's like that. But it's all expert. Sometimes they are present, sometimes they are not. Same. Krishna's devotees follow Krishna's mood. They tend to do similar things. So, like this. All right. Maybe last question.
No, I just feel love is in love. It is not like for like. So is losing in love is really winning?
Losing in love? What do you mean losing in love?
No, I'm just saying like in love it's not like a transaction. You have to give exact what you get.
Yeah.
So sometimes losing means you're actually winning.
In this world we're always keeping score in every relationship. That's why we don't connect deeply with others, because in our mind we're looking at someone and we have a score. I did this, this and this and they haven't done enough. I'm losing. Therefore, if you look in this verse actually, it said, it's a very heavy statement actually. I'll just show you. God, where is it? 20, sorry. Yeah, Krishna actually makes the very same point that if you're calculating, if you're keeping score in a relationship, there's no prema, there's no love. 32, sorry, I'm going in the wrong place. I'll just read this because it's important. The Supreme Personality of God had said, so-called friends who show affection for each other only to benefit themselves are actually selfish. They have no true friendship, nor are they following the true principles of religion. Indeed, if they did not expect benefit for themselves, they would not reciprocate. So we are not there, but that's love. Otherwise it's a transaction. Otherwise it's a mercantile relationship. Otherwise we're keeping score. So in the relationship with Krishna, when we're actually understanding, in relationship with Guru, when we're actually understanding, there's no question of losing, because I have been given so much that I'll never be able to repay that. So how can I ever lose? I'm always winning because so much has been given to me already. And so a devotee realizes that, and that empowers them to give more. So, yeah, this is...
I mean, Prabhu, what I'm saying is, did gopis show that losing means actually winning in love? Is that what it is?
I don't know if we can call it losing. This is all on a transcendental platform. Even the viraha, the gopis are criticizing Krishna. They're saying, how could you do this? But the amazing thing is that in transcendental separation from Krishna, they also feel an incredible bliss. So I don't know if we can term it in that way, like winning and losing. But yes, on the transcendental platform, winning and losing is all winning. Because when you're losing, it brings you closer in heart, and in that way you're winning. So, yeah, these are all
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
All right, I think we should stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.